righteousness. So we're just asking for your order in this room. We just thank you that heaven has a government, and we want that government to rule here. Okay, so item one, witnesses create safety for others. Everyone's going to be given what they want. This is really important to know, because right now you can decide what you want. I just appreciate what Annie was praying. Like, we can actually recognize when we want our own way. If you want your own way and you don't give up that, you will get hell. That's what hell is. Hell is people getting to be their own God, getting their own way. You don't want that. You want Jesus' way. You actually want to yield. And Jesus, he wants us to yield not just to him, but to one another in appropriate times. To stand for truth, yes, but to stand for truth with a soft heart and a pliable set of emotions and a pliable will so that he can move us. That's the way Jesus walked through Jerusalem. Nobody knew more about the right truth than Jesus, but he let other people kind of move him as he went through. He yielded to the high priest. He yielded to the leaders of the synagogues. He yielded to people that were in authority. And we want to be like that. This is very difficult right now. There's so much lawlessness right now, and so many people are afraid of authority. If you're hearing things in the news or things at work or things at school that are making you afraid of authority, like feeling like I've got to take control of this thing because the authority is terrible, you have to know that's a scheme of the enemy to take you out of Jesus' kingdom. You do not need to be afraid of authority. You actually need to be afraid of walking out of authority right now. Okay, so those unwilling to die to self will suffer pangs of torment and be unable to die during the fifth trumpet judgment. Okay, so everybody's going to be given what they want. When we left off last time that I was talking, we were talking about the fact that mostly we don't want to die to our own insecurities, our own fears. We don't want to die to our own control, our own maintaining of our reputation or the way that we appear. But if we're not willing to die to ourselves, Jesus has a plan to extract this willingness from mankind, and it's called the fifth trumpet. And then the fifth trumpet, there's going to be demons that come out of a pit and sting people for 5 months, and they can't die. They won't be able to die. So if you don't want to die, if you're like, I don't want to give up my way, I want my way, there's going to come a moment in time where demons are going to come physically sting people, and they won't be able to die. And God's like, you did not want to die. You didn't want to die. You don't want to be like that. You don't want to be found like that in the coming days. You actually want to be very pliable. Okay? I don't have to get my way. God sees me. He knows my heart. I'm just going to keep walking in agreement with his heart values. What are Jesus' heart values? What are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. If we'll embrace these things, Jesus will keep us through these judgments. But if we won't, if we'll keep going the same way that we've gone, I want to tell you, we're all born rebellious. I was born rebellious. I was not born with Jesus' heart values. Neither were you. If you don't intentionally repent into these heart values, Jesus has a plan to break you. It's called seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. And it's designed for people that said they wanted Jesus' heart values. It's actually designed for the church because we're the ones that said we wanted him. And he's like, I am so gracious, so merciful to bring you to the place where you will choose me, but you don't have to wait for the pain. You can actually choose me right now. But if we don't, we'll get what we want. That's judgment. Judgment is actually getting what you want. So if you want your own way, he's going to give you over to your own way. If you don't want to die, if you don't want to take up a cross and follow him, he will give you 5 months of pain where you can't die because that's what you want. Okay, but you don't have to go that way. This warning to the church, it comes with a promise that you could be sealed. You could actually be protected from these demons that sting. And we're going to read the passage in a second. We read it last time, probably about a month ago. This is very important. I hear the Lord pressing this on my heart over and over. When I am tempted to control in selfishness quite often, and every time the Lord presses it on my heart, don't give into that. Don't give into that. You have to change. You really do. And all we do is we tell him we want to change. If we just admit with him that we have to change, he'll seal us, okay? So, but you can't just admit it for you. You actually have to tell the truth to other people. You know, that's out of line. That's not the authority of Christ that's manifesting. You have opportunities on social media all the time to actually speak truth in love, generally on your own page. Okay, so those sealed by God will not be stung. The sealing is to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. It is the result of being a public witness. So if you want to be safe from the judgments, the trumpet judgments that are coming, how many of you wish to be safe from all the judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments? The bowl judgments are even more intense than the trumpets. If you want to be safe, then you need to be sealed by the Spirit. The only way you're going to get sealed by the Spirit is by becoming a public witness that this is necessary. If you are not a public witness that this is necessary, you will not be sealed, according to the Bible. This is very important. Now, this does not mean a public nuisance that this is necessary. This means a heart standard like Jesus, meekly declaring it under authority, not just godly authority, under authority, looking for places where it's invited. Jesus, he preached to people that wanted to hear him. If you look, he didn't go places that didn't want him. It's very interesting the way that Jesus did the Great Commission. People came and followed him. John the Baptist, who was a witness of Jesus, he started his ministry in the wilderness. People had to actually come out and hear him. They had to decide they wanted this truth. This is the lawfulness of the way that Jesus woos people in love, doesn't demand that they hear what he's got to say. That's Isaiah 42. We're going to spend time in Isaiah 42 next week, not this week, or next time I speak, 2 weeks. Okay, so the sealing is to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. It is the result of being a public witness. Let's read Ephesians 4, 29 to 30. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Like, you really want to be careful what comes out of your mouth, that it may impart grace to hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Your words, the way that you use your mouth, is determining the measure you are protected from the coming judgments. That's what it means to be sealed for the day of redemption. You're being kept. So being sealed doesn't necessarily mean your body is safe. Being sealed means your faith is intact, that you won't quit Jesus. Many people, when the stings come, they will get offended and quit Jesus. You don't want that to happen to you. Have you ever had that happen? You ever had a sting in your life? And you were like, God, do you hear me? Do you see this? It's going to get more and more intense, more and more offensive, to the point where people will quit Jesus. Sometimes people quit Jesus, like if somebody dies that they love and they prayed. I've seen this in my own family. I've seen people actually say, you know, I'm not going to pray anymore because I prayed and it didn't work. These are stings that we have to repent of. Let's just wait, okay? Thank you. The seal is obtained from publicly moaning and sighing over the abominations done in the city of Jerusalem. We have to actually care about other people and moan and sigh over the abominations done, specifically in the city of Jerusalem. That's where the seal is obtained. The seal, this protection from judgment. Moaning and sighing over the abominations done in the city of Jerusalem and everything that is connected to it, including the holiness and understanding of the church, which are supposed to be night and day watchmen over Jerusalem. What I'm saying is, Jesus isn't going to return until Israel says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, until Jesus is invited back as Messiah by Israel. So as we see things happening in the nation of Israel that are preventing, that are hindering people from seeing Jesus as their only salvation, this is good and bad things. Sometimes when God's trying to save somebody, well-meaning do-gooders actually get in the way of Jesus trying to bring people to repent. You ever seen this before? We see this in families sometimes. We see this with addiction sometimes. Well-meaning people keep fueling the rebellion, even though God's trying to break the rebellion so that people can repent. We do not want to get into this with Israel. There's much of this with Israel right now. Well-meaning people trying to be God to Israel, trying to make peace for Israel, trying to protect Israel. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't help Israel. But if we have to help Israel as led by the Holy Spirit only, and not more than that, as led by the Holy Spirit only, that's true for everyone around you as well. You don't want to help people out of the goodness of your heart. You want to help people out of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There'll be much Antichrist movement and worship that comes from trying to help people out of our own goodness. That's Antichrist. You don't want to do that. So the seals obtained from publicly moaning and sighing over the abominations done in the city of Jerusalem, the apostate approach towards God in the city of Jerusalem. But it's also connected to a church that doesn't know anything about what God's saying about Jerusalem. So we should be moaning and sighing over the state of the church that doesn't know the biblical narrative for Israel and thinks that just doing everything man calls good is somehow good. We should be moaning and sighing this. This is an abomination to God. There are many people who have put power in their hand towards Israel thinking, I got the right solution for Israel. In fact, Hitler called it the final solution. We don't want to get into that. We don't know good from evil. God does. And so if we'll give ourselves to praying and moaning and sighing over the abominations done in Jerusalem, then everything connected to that, which includes an apostate church, a church that doesn't know what the Bible says, a church that runs out of control, a church that just does whatever it wants to, doesn't follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, does not love each other the way that God loves us, tries to demand its own way. Right? 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love looks like. It doesn't demand its own way. It's patient. It's kind. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. We have to actually stand for this heart value in the church with regard to our own holiness, with regard to the church in our city, with regard to the church in the nation, and especially with regard, it all comes from the way the church relates to Israel. Now, right now, the church is relating to Israel in many, many ways. It's relating to Israel politically. It's relating to Israel spiritually. It's relating to Israel culturally. And just liking Israel is not what God calls agreeing with him about the destiny of Israel. Jesus liked Israel. But he told them the truth. He preached repentance. He said, I am the only way, the truth, and the life. No one's coming to the Father but me. There's not some second plan for Israel. And right now, the rubber is meeting the road. We're seeing things break as people try to fix Israel right now. Right now. COVID-19 is a great example. Started to spread globally moments after the peace to prosperity plan that Trump put out for Israel. Moments after that, COVID-19 started to touch the whole globe. There's a brand new peace plan between the UAE and Israel. This is bad news. You don't want to be meddling in Jesus, the Prince of Peace's business. This is bad, not good. Now, the church is supposed to be appointed to be night and day watchmen over the city of Jerusalem. We should be mourning that our main area of blessing Israel is not in night and day prayer. This should be a big moaning point if we want to get sealed, okay? Now, New Testament Christianity isn't a choose-your-own-adventure story. It's very specific. We're supposed to be on point always, not tangled up in civilian affairs. We don't just kind of do whatever makes sense to us until, you know, it's Sunday morning, and then we go worship, and then we go back to doing whatever makes sense to us, kind of focus on this. This is my hobby. If you're a Christian, if you're a biblical Christian, you're on point all the time, okay? This is 2 Timothy 2:2-4. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What Paul is telling Timothy is this message has to be stood for. It has to actually be entrusted to people that will be witnesses. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, if you do this, if you entrust people to the truth that you have, if you actually look for people to be a witness to and then tell them they have to be a witness, exactly what I'm doing with you right now, hardship will come into your life. This is the point. You have to be focused. You have to decide, I want the hardship. How many people naturally want hardship? None people naturally want hardship. You actually have to pray into this. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We should always be looking for, how do I please Jesus? Pleasing Jesus isn't always saying everything you know. Sometimes pleasing Jesus is not saying what you know. But sometimes it's standing in ways that are full of authority for the truth. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about social media. All these messages are mostly about social media. This is where most of this is going to get worked out in our day. Now, that doesn't mean just social media. It just means that's the riskiest place to do it. That's where most people are going to hear most of what you say. That's where you're going to reach the most people. And there are people that hate the plan of Jesus to come back. There's people in the church that don't like the plan of Jesus to come back. They just don't know what it is. If they knew what it was, they'd be like, what? He wants to do what? He wants to judge the church? I said something this week. Got pushed back from all over the world about Jesus wanting to judge the church. So you know it's in the Bible, clearly, over and over and over. Lots of people know that. Lots of people were also saying, this is in the Bible. There's a handful that were like, that's not right. Yeah, that's part of the deal. That's what you want. That's what's supposed to happen. You don't want it, but it's what will happen. That's why Paul is telling Timothy, You have to endure hardship when you do this. Romans 11, 25 to 26. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Now, this is Paul telling in the book of Romans about the relationship between the church and Israel. That you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is part of what we have to say to each other. That's why I put it in here right after that 2 Timothy. This is the only gospel there is. Part of the gospel is Jesus is waiting for Israel to be saved. And as soon as the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, she's going to be saved. So what would that make our prayers about? The fullness of the Gentiles coming in, Israel being saved. If we see that people aren't focused on that, we would be a witness and say, you know, this is really the focus of the Bible. This is New Testament Christianity. This isn't like optional. It's not like a cafeteria plan. You kind of pick what you want. It's very focused. It's very narrow, actually. Matthew 23, 37 to 39. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. This is one of the last things Jesus said publicly before the cross. The one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. Why is Israel a mess? Because she rejects Jesus. That's why. It's not because of the Arab neighbors. The Arab neighbors are a symptom of her rejection of Jesus. We have to be clear about that. We have to actually say that. Is Netanyahu going to fix the desolation of Israel? Not until he starts preaching Jesus, he's not. Not if that's the cause. Does that make Netanyahu bad? No, it doesn't make him bad or good. It makes him not really part of what we're praying for, though God may do things with Netanyahu for Israel. But the temptation is to, in the flesh, fixate on what we think would be best for Israel and neglect what the Bible says is Israel's problem, which is rejecting Jesus as Messiah. Now, if you say this, you'll get hated by a bunch of people, not just people in Israel. There's a bunch of people in the church that don't want to hear this. There's tons of anti-Semitics that don't want to hear this. Nobody likes this message, except for people that want the leadership of the Messiah. See, your house has left you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And this was Jesus quoting Psalm 118, which is a prophetic psalm about the end of Israel's indignation and the return of the Messiah to the earth. Ezekiel 9, 4 to 5. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, speaking to the angel. Ezekiel sees this vision, and there's an angel that's got this inkwell. He's got a pen. And this is what the Father said. Ezekiel saw this. Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. Mark all the witnesses, is what he could say. All the witnesses who are declaring my heart for Israel, mark them. This is always going to be true, always. To the others, he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. If you want to be safe through the next wave of judgment, start being a witness of Jesus' heart for the city of Jerusalem, for the fact that only Jesus is going to make peace in Israel. Only Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. He's going to do it physically. In fact, Israel, it says in Daniel 9, it says the war is going to continue until the end. Anybody that tries to stop that war except for Jesus is Antichrist. You can't do that. We have to stand for that. It's very unpopular politically. Now, why? Well, because Jesus wants to be God of Israel. He wants to be her rescuer. I don't want anyone else doing certain things for Samantha that a husband is supposed to do. I don't want somebody to come over and, you know, start fixing up my kitchen or anything like that. I want to be Sam's husband. There's certain things I want to do. I don't want anybody else doing them. Jesus feels this way about Jerusalem. This is the city that he's going to inhabit with his bride forever. Billions and billions of years and just getting started. He cares about this city very much. It's very near and dear to his heart. We would only kind of be like anybody go and fix that thing if we didn't care that much about that fidelity and that relationship. But Jesus went to the cross because he's that faithful to Israel. He's that serious about it. Revelation 9, 1 to 6. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth had power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. You want this seal. You really want this seal. Ezekiel saw it. The Bible's clear what the seal is. It's agreeing with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. If you agree with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you will be a witness of what the Holy Spirit is saying. If you agree with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you will be a witness to the rest of the believers about this part that God is showing you that is necessary to release. You'll have a fire in your bones, is the way Jeremiah said it, that you can't hold in. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. God doesn't want to kill people. He actually wants them to repent. This is his mercy. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Jesus' plan to endure this reality is to lead his people by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want anybody to feel this. He doesn't want anybody stung this way. He's not maniacal. But it's better than going to a lake of fire forever. So he's willing. He's actually willing. If you don't want to die, he'll give you a moment in time in rebellion where you can't die. You don't want that to happen to you. So the way that you answer that is you die to your own self-leadership, your own logic, your own thinking things out on your own. This must be good because I think it's good. And if the Bible doesn't agree with that, the Bible must mean something different. So I'm going to find all the ways the Bible doesn't mean that. And that's easy to do. If you want to, you can find all the ways the Bible doesn't mean something that it actually means. And we see this throughout history. Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He says, you search the scriptures because you knew in them you think you'll find life, but they point to me and you won't receive me. You can study your opinion out of this thing all day long if you want to. You actually have to yield the leadership of your mind, will, and emotions to the Holy Spirit to understand what this thing is actually saying. And what it's actually saying is you got to die to yourself. Pick up your cross and follow him. An educated farmer is intended to be able to understand the gospel. It's not that hard. We just don't like it. We don't like to do it. Jesus' plan to endure this reality, though, is to lead his people by the Holy Spirit. That's why the tabernacle of David is end time safety. That's the point of a prayer room. That's the point of coming and telling God, okay, I'm selfish. I demand my own way. That's not okay. That's not the way heaven works. I'm sorry. If you do that, what happens is you get out of the way some of the things that are blocking you from hearing what God is saying. A lot of people are like, I can't hear God. And God would be like, you can't hear me because you actually are paying attention to so many things that aren't of me. Get some of these things out of the way. It doesn't make sense to you yet because you're not hearing me. But when you get them out of the way, you suddenly start to hear me. This is Paul's testimony. This is why Paul preached holiness. He's like, I was really good at obeying all this stuff. I just didn't hear God. I was kicking the goads and I didn't even know it. Then he knocked me down with a light. I repented of my own leadership and all my success. I started to hear God. You really need to hear God right now. The whole earth needs to hear God right now. And he wants the earth to hear him through you testifying, being a witness. Being a witness is what this is about. Now, your mouth reveals what's in your heart. If there isn't much coming out of your mouth in the way of witnessing, there really isn't much burning in your heart. This is a hard message. If corruption, idleness, and self-leadership is coming out of your mouth, I want you to think about the conversations you had in the last 2 weeks. How many of them were about this? Getting the earth ready to receive Jesus. Jerusalem. The confusion in the politics of trying to help Jerusalem. Well-intentioned people. I think that the United States administration is very well-intentioned. I'm not saying they're poorly intentioned. They're just not in agreement with the biblical plan for Israel to be saved. That's lawless. Are you talking about this? Are you a witness of it? It's going to matter. It's going to really matter. Is your conversation, is it mostly filled with idleness? Is it talking about things that are acceptable to everybody? Music and culture and politics. You know, you get in the right group, even if something as divisive as politics unites people if you're in the right group. If you're saying the things other people want to hear, that's idleness. You're going to get judged for idle words. Corruption, mocking people, making fun of them. I mean, a lot of us, I don't know about you, I'm preaching to myself. I pass a lot of time kind of making fun of the obvious. I'm going to get judged for that. I really need to not be okay with that. You need to not be okay with that. Your mouth reveals what's in your heart. If there isn't much coming out of your mouth in the way of righteousness and this truth about the return of Jesus and the sanctification required and the holiness of our heart. And when I say holiness, I don't mean obeying the rules. I mean the fruit of the Spirit, growing in patience, growing in self-control, growing in love. If there's not a lot of that coming out of your heart, that's because it's not burning. If you really have these things burning in your heart, it comes out of your mouth. The Bible's clear about this. If corruption, idleness, and self-leadership is coming out of your mouth, you're literally calling to demons and reflecting their leadership. We can tell if we're actually singing out to demons by the way that we talk about people, by the way we think about people, by the idleness of our words, by just the way we waste time with our words. There are demons of idleness. Did you know that? You'll be given them, these demons, for 5 months for correction if you don't get serious and repent. Matthew 12, 33 to 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. How can you be idle on Facebook? Anybody know? Cats. Thank you. Jen wanted to point out my sin. Thank you. It's all the stuff that makes you look like you're a normal human, kind of cool. But it isn't disruptive in any way towards Jesus. It doesn't do anything to increase righteousness. Corruption is increasing unrighteousness, actually telling other people to hate other people. You know, pointing out somebody's errors and being like, shouldn't we all hate that? That's corruption. Jesus is not like that. That's corruption of his spirit. We do these things. We abide these things. We actually see these things happen and we just... Our silence will judge us. It really will, according to the Bible. That's the point of all these messages, but even this will help us. So either make the tree good, Matthew 12, 33 to 37, and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance the mouth speaks. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good things. This is how you know. By the way that you talk, by the way that you post, by what you like, by what you don't like. This is how you know. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. It will matter. It's tallying up. There's a tally being made for us. They will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So you could be like, well, no, he's just talking about unbelievers. Once you're under the blood of Christ, no. By your words, you'll be justified. It's both. Why? Because you're revealing all the time the leadership that you're following. If you're revealing the leadership of Jesus, it comes out in your words. If you're following another leader, it's coming out in your words and your heart attitudes towards other people, especially when they resist you, especially when they look like a roadblock. Did Jesus condemn roadblocks, human roadblocks? No, he did not. He spoke the truth to them in love, but he was always redeeming. He's always looking for an opportunity to tell the truth in love, in his heart standards. When he hit the Pharisees, it took a lot of because they claimed to know. They were leaders of people and claimed to know the Messiah. And they did. They did not recognize him as the Messiah. This is a hard word, but it's spoken from a desire for you to avoid torment. This is the only way to avoid torment. If you believe that the book of Revelation is unfolding around you, maybe you don't. Maybe you're like, you know, this is just all coincidence. This happens, you know, every 100 years there's a pandemic. And the earth's never seen anything like this. I'm going to tell you. The earth has never at the same time experienced the same thing globally and been able to communicate about it. Spanish flu, 1918, we all experienced, you know, the whole world experienced a pandemic, but they couldn't communicate in real time about it. We didn't all see national failure at the same time. We didn't all see national success at the same time. There's something very unique about being able to continuously converse across the globe about what's happening right now. It's the regathering of Babylon. This is a judgment. This is end-time judgment. So if you think that, then what's coming next are demons coming out of a pit of hell to sting people that will not humble themselves, will not repent. I need to repent. You need to repent. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Telling people the truth is necessary to love them. Loving people is necessary to actually telling the truth. That's 1 Corinthians 13. So you have to tell people the truth in order to love them, but you actually have to love people to tell them the truth, because Jesus is the truth. He tells people things in a very prophetic way, tailored to them way. A witness of truth is literally the point of the judgments in the 42-month war on the saints that is coming soon. Jesus is trying to extract a witness out of the church called the bride. The bride is going to share Jesus' same heart. And so the judgments, all the intense stuff that's happening right now, it's actually meant to extract out of the church people who want to stand with him in all that he stands for. They'll be married to him forever. Many people won't do that, though. They will say what they want about him. They won't yield to his leadership like a wife. They'll just try to do good in his name. That's not okay. That's actually the difference between the Antichrist and Jesus, the bride. That's the difference, is lawlessness. A witness of truth is literally the point of the judgments in the 42-month war on the saints that's soon coming. Now, I believe that's going to happen actually months, not years from now, to break us free of the fear of man and stand up. Now, I'll just point out, I'm not the only person that thinks this. I'm hearing a lot of people, national leaders, starting to talk about a coming global persecution on the church. There's a guy I can think of in Philadelphia. He leads a church in, I think it's in Philadelphia. There's a guy in Arizona that I can think of that's preaching this right now. There's a guy in North Carolina right now that's preaching it. Actually, a former professor from Liberty University is preaching it right now. Kalamazoo, there's a guy in Kalamazoo. There's many people in Kalamazoo. Yeah. There's a global war against the church coming to America. It's going to come to America. And it's designed to get us ready so that when demons come out of the pit, we're sealed. It's his mercy. It's running with the footmen so that you can run against the horsemen. That's what Angie's been preaching for a little while. Now, this is meant to break us free of a fear of man and to stand up as witnesses of the righteousness of Jesus, primarily as expressed through his body. Now, the witness of Jesus and his righteousness, he's decided for whatever reason to put it on his believers, his followers, to be his body on the earth. We're the witness on the earth of what Jesus wants. And he's going to reward people based on the way they witnessed him. Now, I want you to hear this passage, because I think a lot of people hear this passage and they think something way different than what he's saying. I think when people read this passage, we're about to read Matthew 25, they think about helping the poor and the homeless. That's not what he's talking about. I want you to actually pay attention to what he's talking about here, okay? Not that it's wrong to help the poor and the homeless. Don't get the wrong impression. Just the point that Jesus is making is actually ministering truth to the church in a risky way. In a risky way. Okay, so this follows the parable of the talents. That's why I say in a risky way, because he's saying this, the point of the parable of the talents, like burying your talent in the ground and then him taking it from you and giving it to other people, or him rewarding you because you took a risk with what he gave you to do. This is what it's related to, Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Now, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate on his right hand. Separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Now, he's talking about the mistreatment believers receive from preaching the truth about the gospel. He's actually talking about ministering to those who are cast out by the rest of the people. He's not talking about, you went and found some homeless people, you gave them some food, that was really me. He's talking about his own body. He's saying, when you do this for my body, when you look for people in prison because they told the truth and you minister to them because they're part of my body, you're doing it for me. When you give people food because they lost their job for telling the truth, you're doing it to me. That's my body. You're his body. We disconnect these things in our mind, and we're like, he just wants us to take care of poor people. That's what the gospel is about. No, the gospel is about becoming a body that is a witness in the earth that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord could be saved. Listen to the rest of the passage. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer them and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. He's not talking about starting a prison ministry. He's talking about taking care of the body that's being cast out for telling the truth. He's not talking about starting a food pantry. He's talking about taking care of people that cannot feed themselves because they lost all their resources for telling the truth. He's talking about taking care of your own body. We take care of it by ministering to it and telling the truth, by standing with it. This is what Hebrews 10 is about. Remember, he says, remember those early days when you first got saved and they gave you a cross. And not just that, but you were companion with those who were getting a cross and you suffered the loss of your stuff because of me. That's what Paul says in Hebrews. This is about being a part of the body of Christ at cost. That's what this is about. And then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. I was a stranger. You did not take me in naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not miss you? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, as much as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. We actually have to take a stand for what's true. And if you take a stand for what's true, you will do it physically, where people can see it. Do you know if you go to prison in China and visit a Christian who's in prison, you're risking your own life? You start taking care of believers that are being beat down in North Korea, you're one of them. You're out too. Are you ready for this? I don't think we are. I think we mostly aren't, honestly. We're not ready for it. Because we see this on Facebook and we don't say anything a lot of times. Somebody's saying something true. And we're like, I just kind of wait and see what happens with that. And people beating them up. We're like, man, hope that guy says something good, gets out of it. We don't stand and say, I believe this too. I believe this too. This is true. Luke, in your generation, be harder than any other, I believe, to stand up for what's right in the face of a whole group of people that are casting it off. You know, we're old and a little bit more lame. More of us aren't that offended by Jesus. But we are, really, when it gets right inside. We find out what Jesus is really talking about. Jesus isn't describing caring for orphans or homeless or ex-cons. Jesus is describing standing with those persecuted who suffered loss for the gospel. That's the point. That's the whole point of Matthew 25. You can't take that parable out of everything else that he's talking about in Matthew 25. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the church in Matthew 25. That's all he's talking about. Only witnesses of these things will live in heaven. To obtain resurrection, you must become a public witness to the truth in the body of Christ and a public spectacle of coming out of the world to the world and worldly believers. This is a must. It's not like, oh, the great ones will do that. This is basic Christianity. This only happens by a miracle because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. If you signed up to follow Jesus, you signed up for persecution and reviling from religious people who will eventually co-opt the government. That's the promise. That's Jesus suffered the crucifixion from religious people that co-opted a government. In fact, Pilate, he really didn't want to do it, and they were like, don't make us appeal to Caesar. Don't make us tell on you, man. This is going to happen. This is what Jesus is preparing us for. Why? Because he said, I want you to share in the fellowship of my suffering. He actually looked at all of his buddies, 11 of them there in that upper room, and he was like, I'm praying for all of you. Actually, they weren't in the upper room. They were on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm praying for all of you and for all those who will believe because of you that you'll all be one, that you'll all have the same fate. Those guys all suffered the same fate. Religious people appealed to governments to persecute believers. It's going to happen in your day right now. This pendulum swings back and forth. Can you see it's about to swing back the other way? It is. It certainly is. And it's by design. And you need to get ready. right now. Okay, this only happens by a miracle. John 15, 27. And then I go right into John 16. There's an unfortunate, in my opinion, chapter break for this purpose. I'm sure it's good for other purposes. But for this purpose, it's hard because you don't want to lose the thought. This is all red ink, right? This is Jesus didn't stop. He took a breath, but he didn't stop talking. John 15, 27. You will also bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. Now, in John 15, Jesus is talking about being hated by the world. The world will hate you if it hated me. It will listen to you if it listened to me. Then John 16, the very next verse, these things I've spoken to you, what things? All of John 15, abide in me. If you don't abide in me, you won't bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, I'm going to cut you off as a branch and throw you in the fire. You're not a part of my body if you don't bear fruit. What fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. How does it get expressed? Well, I can tell you in Matthew 25, it gets expressed when you take care of the body. You tell the truth in patience, peace, love, gentleness, self-control, kindness. He says, these things I've spoken to you that you won't stumble. I'm telling you this so you don't fall. You live in the time he was talking about. Right now. That's why there's so much division in the church. So did his disciples. They lived in this time too. That's why there was so much division in Israel over Jehovah. What was really following Jehovah looking like? He says, I don't want you to stumble. I want you to know. So if you think Jesus is never going to let me be deceived, you are deceived right now. He's like, it's on you. I'm not going to make you agree with me about these things. They will put you out of synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Why? Why would people be so confused that they would think they could kill other believers and be serving God? Well, because there's no witness of truth. That's why. There's a huge crowd that's like, we do what we want. That's what God wants for us. And the group decides you're bad. That's how it's always happened. It will happen again. According to the Bible, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen, in my opinion, very, very soon. Months, not years, in my opinion. This happens in a very specific process. First, the church gives you a hard time. Then, government penalties. This is over and over, this pattern in the Bible. Matthew 13, 7 to 13. Now, the point of me telling you this is not that you would be afraid. The point of me telling you this is that you'd be a witness. If you're a witness, you'll be okay. There are many times they wanted to kill Jesus, and he literally walked right through the crowd. They took him to the cliff. They're going to throw him over the side. The only testimony in the Bible is he just walked right through them. If you are a witness of the Holy Spirit, you have the protection of the Holy Spirit. You want it right now. You want your kids to have it. You're going to need it for work. You need it for school. These things aren't going to stop. Work and school aren't going to stop. You're going to have to keep working and being a witness. This is very difficult. That means you want to start now. You don't want to wait until it's really, really, really difficult to start. You want to start doing it now. You want to start training your heart to tell the truth in love, to make sure that your words, they're not idle. We got to come out of the American culture. We really do. Mark 13, 7 to 13. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. This is the Olivet Discourse. So this is synonymous with Matthew 24. Each of the Gospels give you a different highlight of what Jesus was talking about that day with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils. Now in Matthew 24, what does it say? Right after that, it says they will deliver you to tribulation. Many will become offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. This is the same idea. This is what he's talking about when he talks about offense, betrayal, and hatred. He says, watch out for yourselves. They will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake. Do you see the progression? They're going to kick you out. They're going to give you a hard time at church. And if you don't stop then, they're going to tell the government, these people are a problem. That's exactly what happened to all the writers of the New Testament that Jesus prayed you'd be one with. You'll be brought before rulers and kings for my sake for a testimony to them. So why do we get arrested as believers? To be a witness. For a testimony. So if you want to do good, if you want to please Jesus, if you want to don't want to get tangled up in civilian affairs, but you actually want to be like a soldier, what will you spend your time doing right now to get ready to be a witness? Be a witness. You practice being a witness right now. Well, Tom, there's not that much pressure. Nobody's trying to kill me. Nobody's trying to take me out. Yeah, that's the best time to practice being a witness. If you won't do it now, your faith is not going to rise to the occasion. Just ask Peter. Peter, you're going to be made to stumble. No, 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 not me, Lord. If you think your faith is going to rise to the occasion, you are delusional and you're just finding excuses to not do what you could do in the easy days right now. Just tell the truth about Jesus. I know some people aren't going to like it. That's okay. I love them. They don't have to like me for me to love them. I see somebody else telling the truth about Jesus. I stand with them. Why? Because if I stand with them, I'm standing with Jesus, and he's going to come and he's going to say, "You're a sheep. Come with me into my kingdom." If I don't, I stand over here and I'm like, I just hope their storm passes for them, Jesus. He would be like, you know, when I was on the cross and all those women were crying and I said, don't cry for me, cry for yourselves. So they do this in the green. What are they going to do in the dry? What they should have been doing is get me on that cross with him. He's truth. He told me everything I ever knew. He's healed so many people. If you're going to kill him, you're going to kill me too, because he is the only way to life. Who was the only person that stood as a witness for Jesus? The thief on the cross. He doesn't deserve these things. We do. We have to be witnesses to him and with him. And that we have the body all around us right now, mostly on social media, where people are saying true things and other people are beating them up for it, taking shots at them. And we mostly just kind of watch it go down. And we're like, man, I don't even know what to say. The Spirit knows what to say. The Spirit knows what to do. And it might not be the right time to say something. That's the Spirit's decision. But if you're not a witness, you don't know how to hear the Spirit, what are you going to do? They're going to arrest all the Christians. Remember that little saying? First they came for them, and then they came for them, then they came for us. That's going to happen. Watch out for yourselves. They will deliver you up to councils. You'll be beaten in synagogues. You'll be brought before rulers and kings for my sake for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. This is how the gospel gets preached, actually. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. Why? Well, because you've been living a life flowing in the Holy Spirit the whole time. You keep saying what the Holy Spirit's saying. You're clean because of the word spoken to you. That's what Jesus said in John 15. If you want to stay clean, if you want to stay ready, you stay engaged. Engage with the Holy Spirit, engage in the conversation, engage being a witness. Then you don't have to worry about what you're going to say in any given situation. If you live a devotional life of engagement, looking for how to agree with Jesus about his witness in the earth, then if people arrest you, that's what you do. If people arrest your family, that's what you do. Do you want to know what you're going to do when somebody comes and takes your husband away or your wife away? Start doing it now. Stand in the place of being a witness now. Then you'll know exactly what to do when that happens. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I want to be in the flow of being a witness so when it happens, I don't lose step with Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Many people will get offended when their spouses get arrested, their kids get taken off the street. And they say, we're not going to let you raise them anymore because you're one of those Christians. You don't want to lose a step when that happens. You want to know, okay, this is what we do when the Holy Spirit's telling me what to do. He's telling me what to say. You'll actually see people released if you know what to do, if you know how to flow with Jesus. Do you see how practical this is? I'm not telling you theoretical mumbo jumbo. I'm telling you months, this is going to start happening. It's already happening in many places in the world right now. It's already happening to more people than any time since Jesus spoke these words. It's been happening for a decade. It's coming here. Look at the culture. Can you see it? Article after article written about how the church is responsible for this mess. And we might even think the church is responsible for this mess, but you can't separate yourself from the body. The body's a mess, yes. Get ready to stand with a big, messy body. That's what Jesus did with us. We've got to get ready. 2 more minutes. Those who endure this time as witnesses will be But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate on what you'll speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it's not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a family reality. He's actually, what I just told you about being ready for your spouse, your kids, that's what Jesus is talking about. Now, brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children, why would people do this? Why would a brother betray a brother? Fear. Fear. Disagreements, wanting our own way, being glad when the person who disagreed with us finally gets what they got coming. That's not Jesus. Jesus died for people who deserved hell. Brother will betray brother to death. Father is child. Children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Those who endure this time as witnesses will be resurrected in the first resurrection. That's it. No one else. No one else will get raptured except for people that endure this time as witnesses. Many people will come to him and say, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. What are you saying? They will come to him. Do you know what that means? They will travel to Jerusalem, knock on his door. What happened? You do not want this to be you. They will be surprised because they would not die to themselves and be witnesses and stand with those who had a cross. If you want that, all we have to do is ask. Stay with me. Tatum, you want to come back up? This is what I just laid out for you is such a hard word. The answer to it is such an easy word. You just have to ask. That's it. You just have to be willing to say, Jesus, you know what? I think I got some stuff messed up here. I think that I have a lot of idle words. I think I got a lot of corrupt speech. I'm just saying this about myself right this second. A lot. I think I've wasted a ton of your time, Jesus. A lot of your blood. You know, that's what it says in Hebrews 10. Trampled blood, counted it worthless. All the power we need to do what I just described having to do is right at our fingertips. Like, it's literally standing as a witness and asking Jesus to help us. It's literally what it is. We have the greatest platform earth has ever seen to be witnesses for Jesus. The greatest moment in time earth has ever seen. It is costly. What we typically imagine is how angry people will be at us. And that's not wrong. But we want to get that onto how pleased Jesus is when people stand as witnesses with him. So if you want that, it's just a matter of asking him to change our emotions, to change our thinking. You cannot grit your teeth and do what I'm describing. You can only ask for it. You can only repent into it. Holy Spirit in this room, if you want that, just raise your hand or whatever. Holy Spirit, we're just telling you, we want to be witnesses for you. We want to be witnesses with you of Jesus. But we don't want to waste any more time. We're going to figure out what's behind us and run our race. I'm asking in this room, pour out anointing to see Jesus as preeminent, to see him as King of Kings, as ruling with a rod of iron, like not compromising his values at all. Pour that into our hearts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Would you pour that into our hearts? Would you make us ready? Lord, right now, fire. Fire on our words. I pray all this week, as we consider our words at work, with our family, at school, wherever we are, there's fire on our speech. Set a guard on our lips. We just stop calling on demons. In Jesus' name, pour out your spirit. Amen. All right, Smearin and I are